Welcome to Smashing the Plateau. We help you get unstuck so you can do what you love and get paid what you're worth, consistently. I'm your host, David Schreiner Khan.
A lot of times I think people think basic and easy are synonyms. They're not.
Today on episode 452 of Smashing the Plateau, I'm here with coach, speaker, and author Alan Stein Jr. I'm going to ask Alan what you need to do when no one is watching for you to be successful in business, and much more. Find out more about Alan, along with all of our previous episodes, at smashingtheplateau.com. Now let's welcome Alan Stein Jr. Alan is a coach, speaker, and author with an expertise in improving organizational performance, cohesion, and accountability. Alan spent over 15 years working with the highest performing basketball players on the planet, including NBA superstar Kevin Durant. Alan now travels the world teaching organizations how to utilize the same strategies in business that elite athletes use to perform at a world-class level. Alan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, David. I appreciate you having me, man.
It's a pleasure to have you on. So I'd love to hear a little bit about why you decided to apply the skills that you used so well in the sports arena in a business setting.
Quite honestly, you know, I made this pivot 2 years ago from being in elite youth basketball over to the business world because I was ready for a new challenge. And I was also enamored with how much transfer and crossover I had seen and experienced in my life between the sports world and the business world. So after serving basketball players and coaches for almost 20 years, I decided to take everything that I'd learned on team cohesion, on building winning cultures, on how to improve effective leadership, and take all of those traits and apply them to the business world. And that's what I do now, and am having an absolute blast coaching folks in the world of business.
And Alan, what do you find is the most important component that you're able to bring over from the sports world that helps people who are in business leadership roles?
You know, there's a whole handful of foundational principles and tenets that apply in either direction. But one that I find incredibly effective that I've learned from the best coaches and the best players in the world is the skill of actively listening. That regardless of what you do in business or what your business is or what your role is in your organization, if you can improve your ability to actively listen, you'll become more impactful and you'll become more influential. That there's really a tremendous amount of gold in the ability to listen to others. And I know that sounds incredibly basic, and it is, but it's also not easy. You know, I know a lot of the folks that run their own businesses and solopreneurs and CEOs and executives, they have so much, you know, so much expertise and experience that they're so used to doing the talking and doing the problem solving. But the real gold is in the listening. And if they can improve their ability to listen to their customers and clients, and they can improve their ability to listen to their colleagues and their coworkers, they'll find themselves much more productive and efficient.
Yeah. So if you're somebody who is so used to being the talker and so used to being the one who is providing all the information and answering the questions, how do you start to make a shift so that you become the listener?
Well, first you just have to acknowledge it, and you have to have the humility to realize that while you are an expert, a subject matter expert, and you do have a lot of value to add, that in order for that to be incredibly precise and to make sure that you're filling the right buckets and you're adding the right value, you have to be able to listen. You know, ultimately every business is in sales. You're selling a service or you're selling a product, and you have to take a step back and realize that telling is not selling. That if you do this right, you should never have to convince anyone to buy your product or to buy your service. What you need to do is ask insightful questions. And if you ask the right questions, assuming what you have is in their best interest, they'll convince themselves to buy. And I've noticed, because I've been mentored by a lot of really veteran sales professionals, and that's the thing that I've learned. You know, a novice salesperson tries to tell you all the features and benefits and why their product or service is best, when a much more savvy sales professional will simply ask the right questions to make sure this is a good fit. And if you keep asking the right questions, then the sale just happens.
Mm. So what's a story that might illuminate how someone who is either a business owner or in sales can do that kind of question asking that you're describing and listen to guide the sales process and guide business growth.
Well, one of my favorite stories, I mean, it's an oldie but a goodie, and I don't know how many of your listeners have heard it, but it's about Arthur Blank, who was the co-founder of Home Depot. And back in the very early stages, before Home Depot became this global empire, he would hang out on Saturdays in the parking lot of one of his flagship stores. And anytime someone would leave the store empty-handed, he would go up and politely and respectfully ask them some questions to figure out why they left empty-handed. Why did they not purchase anything? Was it because they couldn't find what they were looking for? Or maybe it was they found what they were looking for, but it was simply overpriced. Or maybe they didn't get the level of customer service. Maybe they weren't even sure exactly what they're looking for. They have a home project they're working on and they don't know what tools they need, but they couldn't find someone to help them with that. And he would take, you know, scrupulous notes to make sure that he was documenting all of the answers these folks were giving. And then he would look at the trends and then he would actually change things on his end based on what he was hearing when he was gathering this feedback. And they would make changes to the way the store was laid out. They would make changes to inventory. They would make changes to price points, all because he was listening to the customer, because ultimately that's the most important person in the equation. And over time, he would tweak it enough that fewer and fewer people were leaving empty-handed. And those that were, simply Home Depot was not the right fit for them. It wasn't anything that he had in his control that he could tweak. You know, he realized that not every single human being on the planet is a fit for Home Depot. And I've just been enamored by that story. And I think there's portions of that that any of us can take and apply to what we do.
Yeah. And actually, I love the piece in that story where you just described that Arthur Blank realized that not everyone was an ideal customer for Home Depot, that there wasn't a fit for everybody.
And that's okay. And the only way you find that out is by asking questions. And I think it's incredibly important to acknowledge that not everyone is going to be a fit for your business. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. And the sooner you can qualify someone is not a fit, then the sooner you can move on and find someone that is.
Absolutely. You know, Alan, in reflecting on your background in sports and also what you're doing now in business, it strikes me that to be an elite athlete and to be an elite entrepreneur or business leader is hard. It's really hard work in both cases. And there's a relatively small percentage of people that are really outstanding in either arena. I'd love to hear your thoughts about that.
Well, you know, what you said is incredibly insightful and right on point. But here's the difference that I found. What it takes to be elite in either sport or in business is actually very basic. But it's not easy, as you just alluded to. And a lot of times I think people think basic and easy are synonyms. They're not. You know, you can live your life by a handful of very basic principles and tenets, but doing so is not often easy. You know, I had a chance, this was back in 2007, to watch Kobe Bryant go through an individual workout. And, you know, Kobe at the time in 2007 was the best player in the game. And I was shocked when I watched his private workout and how basic the drills were that he was doing. You know, here I am watching the best player in the world, and I'm thinking I'm going to see a lot of flash and a lot of sizzle, and yet he was sticking to the basic fundamentals. And later that day at camp, I asked him, and he said, the best never get bored with the basics. And that takes a certain amount of humility. But the reason I bring that up is we don't want to overcomplicate things. What it takes for your business to be successful is going to be basic. But you have to acknowledge that what you need to do is not going to be easy. And if you'll adhere to those principles and you're willing to put forth the required effort and focus on those basic principles, then there's no reason that you can't be successful.
So I wondered if we could go a little deeper on some of that and actually sure. talk about, you were watching someone who's an elite athlete practice essentially while no one is watching, I mean, other than you.
Yes.
What have you found that it takes to be successful, whether it's in sports or in business, particularly when no one is watching?
Well, I love that you bring that up, David, because we've actually coined that term. A friend of mine I used to work with in basketball, those are called the unseen hours. And in basketball, the unseen hours are when the lights are off, the cameras aren't rolling, and the cheerleaders aren't dancing. It's what you do then that will determine how successful you'll be when the game's actually played. And the same is true in business. You know, the habits and the mindsets and the rituals and the routines that you have when you're not in front of your staff or when you're not speaking with a client or a customer. It's what you do during those unseen hours that will dictate how successful you'll be. And, you know, and that goes back to habits. You know, our habits, our work habits and everything that we pour into our business on a daily basis ultimately determines, you know, how impactful and influential our business will be. And, you know, going back to such a basic concept, you know, if you have great habits, you'll have a great business. If you don't, you won't.
So what are some of those habits that you have found to be really fundamental to business leaders being more successful than others?
You know, one of the most important ones, and sometimes this feels a little counterintuitive, because I know that lots of entrepreneurs and solopreneurs and business owners, especially in the startup phase, you know, they have to wear a lot of hats and they have to do so many different aspects of the business because they haven't scaled to the point where they can hire someone or delegate everything out. And I understand that. And what often happens is they end up burning the candle at both ends. They find themselves working, you know, just a ridiculous amount of hours, and they find they run themselves into the ground physically, mentally, and emotionally. Well, one of the best things, one of the best habits you can get into as a business owner or a solopreneur or any leader is to make sure that you're filling your bucket first, that you're making sure that you're doing what you need to do to perform at your highest level, because that's the only way that you can serve your business, serve your clients and your customers and your colleagues and your coworkers to the greatest degree. So you have to take time every single day to do something that recharges your own battery and fills your own bucket. And it's interesting because very understandably, and trust me, I've been there, many solopreneurs will feel, well, I don't have time to do that. There's not enough time for me to take a yoga class. I just don't have time to go for a run. I don't have time to sit in quiet and read for 30 minutes. Well, that when you don't have the time to do those things, that's when you have to make the time. You know, there's an old adage that a guy went up to, I believe it was Gandhi, and was telling him about some issues he was having. And Gandhi said, well, you need to take 10 minutes a day and meditate. And the guy said, well, I just don't have 10 minutes. And he said, oh, well, in that case, you need to take 20 minutes a day and meditate. And that's what I've learned. In order for you to pour everything into your business, you have to make sure that you're filling your bucket first.
If you want to rise above the noise, doing what you love and getting paid what you're worth consistently, check out smashingtheplateau.com/best network and learn how we help entrepreneurs like you. Mention Smashing the Plateau and receive 1 month free membership in Best Network. So, Alan, what do you do to fill your bucket first? What helps you be at your peak performance?
Well, I have a very standard morning routine. The very first 30 minutes of every single day are for me, and they are to set the right mindset and physical and emotional tone for the rest of the day. And for me, first of all, I'm a big believer in making my bed. I've been making my bed for the last 25 or 30 years because I love starting my day with a very simple routine act of discipline. But then for me, I do some breath work and some movement work, which is basically some different stretches and some yoga poses. I do a 10-minute meditation where I follow the Headspace meditation app. And then I know this is going to sound borderline psychotic, David, but then I take a 5-minute cold shower and I find it incredibly invigorating. Now, it's miserable, and I don't enjoy any bit of that 5 minutes except for when it's over, but it wakes up my mind, it wakes up my body, it wakes up my soul, and I feel like $1 million when I get out. So the first 30 minutes, I make my bed, I do some breath work, I do some stretching, I meditate, and I take a cold shower, and it's timed out. It is literally 30 minutes, and I know that by investing that 30 minutes, I've now set the tone for the rest of the day, and that I'll be better able to serve my clients and customers, and I'll be able to better serve and be a better teammate to my colleagues and coworkers, and I'll be better for anything that I'm going to do that day, such as being on someone's podcast.
Yeah, so you find that it actually does make a significant difference having that 30-minute morning ritual.
Absolutely, yes. And now trust me, there are times where I know that I'm going to have a jam-packed day and I've got a lot of stuff going on, and part of me wants to get up and occasionally wants to skip that routine and just start jumping into it. But that's fool's gold. I found that the consistency of making sure that I fill my own bucket that way is the best thing I can do for all of the groups and all of the people that I have to serve. And I take a lot of pride in it. And for me, I'm very old school. And I don't know if you've ever heard what Jerry Seinfeld used to talk about don't break the chain, where he told a young comedian that if you want to get good as a stand-up comedian, you need to write every day. And what you need to do is, even if you're only going to write jokes for 5 or 10 minutes, it needs to be consistent. And every day that you do it, he said, put a little red X on your calendar. And your goal is to not break the chain, is to not let there be any gap on your calendar where there's not a red X. And you need to make that consistent. And I do the same thing. I'm literally looking right now in my home office at a paper calendar I got from Office Depot, and it's got a series of red X's on it, including this morning, because I did my 30-minute morning ritual this morning.
Sounds great. Now, I'd love to talk a little bit with you, Alan, about your own business, your business model, and in particular, since you've made the shift just a few years ago from sports into business, what have you found has been most helpful to produce consistent, stable revenue?
Well, you know what's cool is, not only am I a guest on your podcast, but I'm also an avid listener, because I'm also in that stage of transitioning into more scalable forms of revenue. At present, my main source of revenue is as a professional speaker. So I give keynotes at conferences. I go in and do workshops and trainings with organizations. But I realize that as much as I enjoy that and as impactful as that can be, that it's not scalable. So over the last several months, and what I'm currently in the thick of now, is creating something that will have recurring revenue. And it's basically it's a reinforcement tool. So if I come in and speak to a company, I realize that I'm not going to change their behavior in one day or during one keynote or one workshop. So what I've created is a 10-module coaching and accountability course that is now a follow-up to what I do in person. And it is a reinforcement tool. So it's got a series of videos and assessments and exercises, and there's the capability for them to direct message me within the platform so that I have something that's a leave behind that. So for the 6 months after I speak, their folks are going to be held accountable and will be given the tools that they need to be successful. So it's a win for them. And then of course it's a win for me, because now I have steady recurring revenue coming in and I'm able to serve clients long after I put the mic down.
Oh, that sounds like a great example. And are there suggestions that you have for people who may be in the process of strategizing how they can take what is either a one-shot experience like paid speaking, how they can take those kinds of revenue sources and add something in or make some kind of transition that is going to lead to more recurring revenue opportunities?
For sure. And it's going to dovetail nicely back to what we talked about earlier with the active listening. You know, for me, after I was doing speaking engagements, I would always hold a post-event, what I call completion call. And part of it was just to debrief and to make sure that I did everything that they needed and exceeded their expectations. But then I was starting to ask, and I was writing down, just like Arthur Blank did, you know, what else could I offer now to make what I did in person more impactful? What would you like to see, you know, from me to help reinforce these so that you as the leader can help, you know, multiply your impact now that I'm gone? And I was taking note after note, and that's really how I formed this program. My program is called Your Game Plan. And that's ultimately what I did. So I took what I was currently doing, and then I was asking them, you know, what is it that you'd like to see me build moving forward that I could best serve you? And was taking note after note. And then I put together basically a beta launch of Your Game Plan. And I had some charter members, and I let them try it out for a few weeks, and they would offer feedback on that. Hey, I like this. I didn't like this. Can you add this? Can you do more of this? And then went back in the lab with air quotes here on our audio podcast and really refined it. And a month ago, launched Your Game Plan. And it's always going to be a work in progress, just like all of us as human beings are. But right now, I feel really good about, you know, its functionality and what it's able to do for my clients, because they were the ones that told me what it was that they needed. And, you know, I found that what works really, really well with a program like that is consistently adding value to it. So finding ways to make it more valuable for them, and to constantly engage and ask them. You know, I know that there'll be folks that can create, you know, a training program, and it's all done on the front end, and then you just sell it and it's evergreen. And I've had programs like that and they work great. But this is one that I want to constantly be getting feedback on how I can better serve people.
Right. And as you said earlier, Alan, It sounds basic, but it's not easy.
Oh my goodness. Yes, you nailed that. Yeah, what I just described is incredibly basic. But I mean, this has been almost a year in the works from the day I decided to do it to when I was able to launch, and, you know, had a whole bunch of peaks and valleys and, you know, a whole lot of roadblocks here and there. Absolutely not easy. But I'm also a big believer that if something's really worthwhile in having, it's not going to be easy to get it. And you just have to know that going into it.
Yeah. But Alan, whom do you know personally who's done a really remarkable job of smashing the plateau?
You know, there's so many people that have had a major impact and influence on me and have been able to do that. But the name that jumps out is a new friend and mentor of mine. His name's David Meltzer. He's the CEO of Sports One Marketing, and he's the host of The Playbook by Entrepreneur, another outstanding podcast like yours. And David's been phenomenal in not only guiding me and mentoring me, but just opening me up to so many different possibilities. And one of the things I really respect about him that I'm hoping rubs off on me, and then I hope rubs off on all of your listeners, is he is not afraid to play big. I mean, that's one thing as I look back on my career, there've been many times where I think I've played small and I've played it safe. And David is one that dreams as big as one can dream and shoots for the stars in everything he does. And that's something I'm much more conscious of now, and is really important, especially from a recurring revenue standpoint. I mean, you should be able to dream that what you're putting together is going to have monumental impact on a lot of people.
That sounds great. Alan, what's coming up for you in the near future?
The thing I'm most excited about is I have a new book that's coming out January 8th, and the book is called Raise Your Game. And it really takes all of the stuff that you and I have been discussing that I learned through sport and shows you how to strategically apply them to business. It shows folks how to be better leaders. It shows them how to be better teammates. And it certainly shows how to create a winning culture in your organization, even if your organization is only two or three people. Even if you're a solopreneur and you have one or two contract workers that work with you, that is still an organization and you still need to have a winning culture. So the book's something I'm really excited about and look forward to getting that into some hands January 8th.
Sounds great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I know creating a book is hard work too.
Yes, it is. Once again, it was basic, but boy, that was another one. That was about 2 years in the works. So yeah, all of these things are basic, but I take a lot of pride in that. You know, I'm a very simple guy, and I don't say that to diminish myself. I actually say that with a sense of pride. You know, I'm proud of the fact that I can live my life by a handful of fundamental principles and do my best not to veer outside of those. And that's the thing, too, with the book. I know that anyone that reads the book, it's not going to blow your mind with anything shiny and sexy. It's going to make sure that you're adhering to the basics and you're closing all of the performance gaps in your life so that you can be the best version of yourself.
Sounds great. Alan, do you have a free gift you'd like to offer our audience?
I most certainly do. If they want to text the word bonus to 66866, again, text the word bonus to 66866, I've got a couple of free goodies. One is a PDF of the 8 books every leader must read. You know, I'm a voracious reader and I've read hundreds of books, and these are the 8 that I really believe every single leader or solopreneur should read. And then the other is I have an 8-page PDF with the key themes to my keynotes and my workshops. So if you've never attended one of my events, this will be 8 pages of notes and applicable takeaways that you can kind of get a feel for what it is I do when I'm in person. So yeah, I would certainly love to be able to offer those to any of your listeners.
Sounds great. Thank you, Alan. And if someone wants to go deeper with what you've shared today or learn more or access any other resources you have, where would they go?
They can go to alansteinjr.com. If you're interested in the Your Game Plan, you can click on the coaching tab, and then you can also click on the book tab, which will take you to raiseyourgamebook.com. So anyone interested in the book, you can go there, but you can get to everything from alansteinjr.com.
Sounds great. Alan, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau and share some great insights. My guest today has been performance coach, speaker, and author Alan Stein Jr. Thank you again, Alan, for joining us.
My pleasure.
When you visit the Smashing the Plateau website at smashingtheplateau.com, you'll find a summary of each episode along with the links we mention on the show. Today, we discussed how to apply the same basic principles that elite athletes use to generate success and how Alan is building consistent, stable revenue in his own business. Would you like more consistent, stable revenue in your business? Go to smashingtheplateau.com and click on Get in Touch to connect directly with me. Please share this episode with friends and colleagues to help them smash the plateau. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show. I'll see you on our next episode.